The wins just keep coming for Wisconsin recruiting. More commits, more talent, more high-level athletes suddenly looking at Madison. Tonight, we break down the newest additions to the 2027 class, the latest names visiting campus, and ask the question Badger fans are starting to ask louder and louder. Could this become Luke Fickell's best recruiting class yet? I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. We're diving deep into what's becoming a really interesting stretch for Wisconsin recruiting. We'll break down the newest commits in the 2027 class, including quarterback Jack Sorgi, defensive lineman David Hill, and Will Zaccagnino, and others. We'll go through the film to see what kind of traits Luke Fickell and this staff are prioritizing right now. Then we shift to the next wave. Four wide receivers with scheduled visits to Madison, legitimate Power Four recruits with real offer sheets, and guys that could completely change the athletic profile of this class if Wisconsin can land them. We'll talk fit, upside, where the class stands nationally, and where this is shaping up to be, and whether this is shaping up to be the best recruiting haul of the Luke Fickell era. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Very, very helpful to the show. Thank you for all your continued support of the Bucky Report. Justin, I've had a long week. I've worked seven straight days. I've got a few more. My execs were in town all weekend. Absolutely brutal. But how are you doing, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was lazy this weekend, so I didn't really get much done. I got took a nice walk because it was a gorgeous day here in Wisconsin yesterday. Did a little bit of yard work. I took it easy. So I did not have the same situation that you did.
Well, I'm jealous because I did not take it easy. It was brutal.
Well, you guys don't have yards in Vegas. So
yeah, there's no yards. My yard is full of rocks.
Yes.
Just rocks and some bushes. I've got some leaves and stuff, but you know, that's about it. It's pretty bad. We've been talking about doing a more recruiting focused show the last few weeks. We've been kind of focused on spring football and things coming out of that. And so this is the recruiting show that we're going to kind of get into. And this will be beginning of a stretch of recruiting talk, obviously with OVs fast approaching. We're going to talk more and more about that as time kind of progresses and see kind of how things are flowing for the recruiting world. But this is a show we're going to do a lot of film dive in. So if you're interested in film, you're interested in the 27 recruiting class, this is the show for you. We're going to talk about the last five recruits that hit this cycle that we haven't touched on really in depth on the show. And then we're going to talk about the wide receiver target list, four wide receivers that have all scheduled official visits into Madison near the end of the month and into OV season. So that's what we're going to get into. And we're going to do film. We're going to talk about all that stuff. We're going to start, by the way, first side note. I did a Rajiv's Corner episode this week about the athletic director search. So I'm going to ping Justin on that for a little bit as well. I totally had my wrong mic selected and this sounds like crap. So sorry about that. If you watch that show, you're like, why does it sound like he's in the middle of a room? That's why I was not using this mic. This mic was in front of me the whole time. It was not selected by the streaming software. It was my laptop mic, which is nothing. That's
awful. StreamYard has a habit of doing that. I had to switch mine before coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. You always kind of just got to check it. So I checked in. The thing is, I normally check it every time, but I just didn't for whatever reason. So anyway, that's that. So thanks to all for joining us. Those of you, many of you in there live. Thank you, Bill Woj. Good friend of the show. Gentlemen, great to see you. Will Hannah says, I want Steele. We will talk about Steele. Mm-hmm. Steele Harris, definitely someone who we're going to show. We're going to show film too. And if you're someone who doesn't really watch film on your own and you want to watch it on here, we're going to put it up on the screen. It'll be nice and big so you can watch a lot of that stuff. Let's start, Justin, though, with the big name. We've touched on him on the show before, but Jack Sorgi, 6'4", 205-pound quarterback out of Indiana, listed in Indiana. Offer lists included Louisville and Arkansas. And yeah, that's right, Jack Sorgi of the Jim Sorgi family. Jim Sorgi, of course, one of my favorite quarterbacks, because he was a quarterback when I was in college. Absolutely loved Jim Sorgi. And of course, he went on to play with my Indianapolis Colts, which is great. Career backup. But hey, he made a lot of good money. So Jack Sorgi commits. Obviously, in my opinion, a really good ad from a culture standpoint, from an alumni culture and kind of all that stuff. But it's good. But also, Justin, he's a fairly talented guy. So we're going to pull up his film here. But Justin, while I get this kind of going, tell me what some of your initial thoughts have been on Jack Sorgi.
Yeah, and Bill Woj in the chat saying exactly what I've been saying since we got him, which is that he reminds me a lot of Jack Cohn. I think that there's a very similar skill set there. I think you might have a little more speed with Sorgi, but he's not a guy who's he's not an instinctual runner. That doesn't mean he's a bad athlete, and that's not what I'm trying to say about him at all. It's just you could tell that his mindset is not, and he's not a guy who probably has made it a big part of his game in his time since he's been playing quarterback. And that's where you have a guy like Colton Joseph, who is a guy who just looks like he's been playing backyard football, running around when people are blitzing him his whole life. And not every quarterback has that in their skill set. I think Sorgi might end up being a better passer than what Colton Joseph is capable of. But from the standpoint of like overall skill set and athleticism, he's a little bit more toned down than the last few guys that we've got. I think there's speed there. I think he can run if he gets out in the open, but he's not a guy that I think you're going to see put up huge rushing yards in games. Like, he's going to be a guy who's going to have that third down and eight where he takes off because nobody's watching him kind of thing, but it's not going to be a guy who's going to look to just take off and make plays with his legs a lot.
And listen, I'm okay with that. When I first watched his film, I thought to myself, he's a prototypical pocket passer. I mean, that's basically what he is. When you come from when your dad is an NFL quarterback, you automatically have a bit of you've got knowledge and high IQ of the game. So for me, the first thing I wrote down was technically sound in the pocket. When you watch him, he knows how to, he moves very well. His pocket presence is good. He understands how to play in the pocket. Now, I want to caveat this by saying, I know the conference that he played in high school, it's not the best competition. Let's just start there. But still, when you watch him play, he really has a very good poise about him. Good decision maker. He can use his legs, as you mentioned, not a supreme athlete, but he's very poised. And that's what happens when you learn from a talent like Jim Sorgi. Like that, Jim Sorgi's his dad. He literally reminds me of Jim Sorgi when he's actually throwing the ball from the pocket. I don't think he's as athletic as Jack Cohn at all, though. And I know that the comparison to Jack Cohn, I get, he's not that athletic, but I think the guy's presence in the pocket to me is the number one.
He does remind me of his dad, too. He reminds me a lot of his dad.
He does.
And his dad wasn't a big runner either. I think that he's bigger. He's got a bigger build than his dad did, because his dad was very slight. I think you can legitimately – I think you can get Jack up to 220, 225. I don't think that his dad could have carried that kind of weight. He was more of like a 215 max kind of guy. And really, that's going to be one of the defining things with him. I think from you watch him, and when I watch him play, it seems like he knows where everybody is supposed to be on the field when the play starts. Like, when something's not working or he sees somebody's covered, he feels like he inherently just goes like, okay, my next guy should be here. And he consistently moves on to the next person and just goes with it. He's advanced in that regard. I think he's ahead of the curve compared to most high school quarterbacks. And that's probably something that happens a lot for kids like him. When your dad played the position and played it at the NFL level, like, you've really got a fundamental understanding of how you're supposed to do things from a QB mindset. Yeah. I think the arm is good. I think he throws us some nice touch at times. I like the way he looks off safeties at times. And he seems to go through his progressions. And I think that's, those are questions that I had with Hopkins coming into his senior year. And I actually think that he's ahead of where Hopkins was as a, from the mental aspect of quarterback playing at this point.
Yeah. From a
high school, coming into his high school senior year.
Right. For me, I agree with a lot of what you said. I think he looks like he's been playing this position his entire life, because he has been playing this position his entire life. And yeah, the way that the very technical sound nature with which he plays the game. Look, I think this is a really good ad for us. Honestly, I mean, for many, many reasons, it's not just about like the quarterback. You're getting a good pocket passer. Yes. But you're also getting a name of a guy who played here. It's a legacy type of a recruit, which I think Luke Fickell needs stuff like that. You've seen a very concerted effort to connect to the alumni, it's a nice ad, I think, when it comes to the holistic view of the university. And you couple that with the fact that he knows how to play quarterback and he does it pretty well. I'm a very, very big fan of Jack Sorgi.
Yeah. Following up on this, Will Hanna, they claim he is in the 4-6 range. He is in the 4-6 range. It was a legit laser timed camp that he was at, that he ran that time. Now, being able to run 4-6 with no pads on and in a straight line is very different than having to go out and run around on the field when you need to be elusive and do things, which is why I don't think that when I watch him, he doesn't look like somebody who's super comfortable running. Like, the instincts aren't there from somebody who's used to being kind of shifty and making people miss. He's not bad as a runner, but my point is that he's not dynamic like Hopkins and Joseph are. And that's the point I'm making with it. It's not that he can't do it. It's that when you see him in comparison to some of the other guys, they're more athlete than quarterback in some ways. He's more quarterback than athlete in some ways.
Yeah, agreed. Kevin Brown, good friend of the show, says, how is he different than Carter Smith? To me, he's a better pocket passer than Carter Smith ever was. You look back at Carter Smith's high school film, he's an athlete. He makes good throws, but man, the poise and like just the maturity that Jack Sorgi looks like he plays with, night and day different from him. And then Jane Toronto, good question, because this has come up a couple times. What happened to the recent emphasis on mobile QBs who can make off-platform throws? I think, and I'll come to you for a second on this, Justin. I think that you need a good quarterback room with different styles. I don't necessarily want all my quarterbacks to just be run first, run first, run first. I want a guy that can stand back there because he, as you said, he is athletic. He does have that piece of his game. But if you can stand back there and make throws and be an athlete and shut off tackles, like I think this guy could actually be a quarterback of the future for us. And I'm fine with him not being as like, you know, Colton Joseph. Like, that doesn't bother me. I like the different profiles of quarterbacks in the room.
My perspective on that, Jay, is that he doesn't change the playbook for you. Everything that all the plays you can run with Joseph, you can run with Sorgi. It's just going to be different. Like, he's going to be better in some ways, probably throwing the football, but you can use QB run with him. He's not like he's like a statue back there. Like, he's capable of being athletic and running. Mm-hmm. My point is that you see guys who have an inherent like talent of just understanding I'm going to have space here or feel for running. And I don't know that he necessarily has that. And so while he can still do the QB run game, it's not something that I look at for him to be like overly like super productive with it compared to some of the other guys where you're like, this is more of a strength to them. But he can do it. It's not like Locke. It's not like some of these other guys that we've had where you set up the QB run. It's like, what are you doing with this guy? Like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Will Hanna, good comment here. I'll take QB over athlete every single time. As long as he doesn't, as long as he is a snail, which obviously he is not on a snail. Kevin Brown says, back to my earlier question, will he wait 4 years? We'll see, right? This is always the thing when you get quarterbacks. Like, obviously, you're looking now at Colton Joseph. You're looking ahead to Ryan Hopkins. We'll see. Like, I think, he's 27, red shirts. He doesn't even come into the fold until 28 as a red shirt freshman. I think he'll be around. If he wants to be here, I think he'll be here for a while.
Yeah, and the thing that we need to remember is look at how much turnover we've had in the quarterback room over the last couple of years. Like, you cannot look at that. We could have a new coaching staff next year. Like, he might be one of the guys that just decides to stay because he is bought into the university because his dad went here. So if something changes there, he's a guy who's like I don't want to act like it's a foregone conclusion that Fickell's going to be here. Like, there's things could still go wrong. I don't want them to, because I want to see my team actually be good for a year. But the difference here is that we have no clue what's going to happen. Like, people were talking Carter Smith, heir apparent, coming in last year. And now we're talking about how there's like he's completely roadblocked.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the defensive side of the ball. And we're going to go with David Hill, who's a 3-star defensive lineman, 6'3", 300-pound defensive tackle from Flossmoor, Illinois. I'll start with this one, Justin. So this is seems like a very true interior type defense lineman. By the way, anyone who's 6'3", 300 in high school before he comes to college and gets weight put on, I'm all about this. He is a true interior type. He can definitely add good weight, but he's truly a force in the middle. I like his vision when he's engaged. I think he can move quick to the ball. I think he plays with a little violence. We need more prototypical defensive lineman who can play that zero tech, you know, like position. I'm not saying he's definitely going to be that, but you can definitely see him being 320 pounds at 6'3 and anchoring the middle of the defensive line many years down the road. I like his film a lot. I think he's actually a little bit underrated on 247, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. Honestly, when Ryan and I were talking about him initially, I'm like, the first person that came to mind watching him was Keanu Benton.
Yep, there you go.
He's a guy who plays violent and has good burst for a big guy. And I think that carries over. Now, that's not to say that he's going to be Keanu Benton. Like, nobody thought Keanu Benton was going to be Keanu Benton when he came in as a true freshman. We'll see what happens once he gets here. But he's got some tools that you really like. And for a guy who's has that kind of size already, he moves really well on the interior. And that's always a plus to have somebody that can move that well.
Yeah, I think the way you said that is perfect. Like, he doesn't move like a 300-pounder.
No.
Like that's and especially a 300-pounder that's 17 years old. Like it's really impressive to see what he can do now. And again, you never really the competition level, so be it. But like you can even if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the guy's film. Like he is an absolute load to deal with on the interior of the line. And you've heard me talk about defensive line a lot. I am all about loading up on guys that can play zero tech, like the Keanu Bentons in the world. I've talked a lot about how well Ben Barton played last year. These types of players, when you can make that big of an impact on the interior of the line, you allow all those other athletic skill position players that this recruiting staff has been loading up on to work behind you and to get that work done. He can swallow up blocks. He is that kind of player. And his handwork is very nice, Justin. Very, very nice. And you can see that on film. You can see how quick he is, the twitch he has with those hands. So that's really good. Yeah, I'm very much of a fan of David Hill. And I think he's someone of all the guys that we're talking about today. David Hill is actually no, there's another one too. The other guy that I really like. There's a couple guys I really like in this group, but David Hill's certainly one of them. I can see him really progressing with us in the future. And I love that we're getting a guy who's already 6'3", 300. That is very, very nice. Jeez.
Yeah. All right. I think both guys that we got on the D-line have good size coming in. I would guess by the time Zach and Nino gets in here, he's probably going to be every bit of 6'5", 280, which that would be amazing to get a guy that's already at that, provided it's good weight, coming in at that weight already. We've seen this staff has done a pretty good job in recent years getting players that physically are not super far off. Yaya Gabb this last season was one of those. Came in at 6'4", 6'5", 260, and is basically all muscle. So he's a guy who has a chance to advance quickly because some of that legwork's already been done to kind of get the body where it needs to be. Now you can focus more on the mental side. And it's kind of the same thing with offensive linemen. You want to see a guy come in close to 300 so that you're not spending that first year trying to go from 270 up to 310 and then learning how your body's going to adjust to all that weight. That's a huge, like, that's basically why a redshirt year is a foregone conclusion for most offensive linemen.
Yeah. I forgot to mention his offer list is pretty impressive with Big Ten schools, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Purdue, Missouri. So that's really nice to see as well. Kevin Brown asked if he's jumped up to a 4-star. I think he will be. Of all these guys on here, I think he's truly a 4-star talent that I think will make that jump. I think he's an 88 right now, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. Justin.
Yeah, he's an 88 right now. I think it's not unreasonable to think that. I think if I had to take a guess where I would probably put him, it'd probably be in the 90 to 91 range. I don't think that you'd like to see him be an inch taller. You'd like to see him be maybe a little bit more disruptive, but there's a really good skill set there to start with. And we'll see what happens once he gets in a college, you know, strength conditioning program too. Maybe he picks up a click, you know, moving them.
Yeah, agreed. The other defensive lineman that you mentioned, and listen, if I could be saying his name totally wrong, I'm gonna assume it's Zach Ignino. If anyone I'm horrible at this, by the way. If anyone thinks I'm totally wrong, please tell me, because I mean, also Justin had to tell me it was DiMaggio.
Let's just say Will Z. Well, just for his sake, Will Z, we're gonna go into this one because I don't want to be rude. I don't want to continue to say his last name wrong like 15 straight times. I actually like him. I think he's got a good frame. Like he moves pretty well. I think there's some good upside here. When you look at him, I see a guy who's going to be your probably 290-pound guy on the edge who is pretty good feet for a guy that's that size. I think, you know, I don't look at him as a guy that's going to be a burner coming off the edge and being a huge pass rusher. I think there's going to be some times who he reminds me of a little bit? Henningsen. Like, I think he could be that kind of player. And if that's what he is here, that would be great for us to get that out of him. You know, he comes in and plays on the edge of the 3-4 and has 3.5 sacks, you know, gets a fair amount of tackles for loss. That'd be great to get somebody like that in that room again.
Yeah. The particulars on Will Z, 6'5", 270 out of Trumbull, Connecticut. Offer list includes Missouri, Michigan State, Illinois, and Penn State. For me, he's really good use of his size, honestly. He kind of shucks blocks really well. Seems athletic on the line. Can play with his hand in the dirt, as you kind of mentioned. To me, he seems like a run-stuffing defensive end, right? The kind of guy who can, like, play on the end.
Strong side edge.
Yeah, he's not a ultimate pass rush type. That's not the kind of end he is. He's really more of a tackle, if you think about four down linemen, defensive end in a rushing situation, that's kind of where I see him.
Strong side defensive end, the guy who's meant to be more of an edge setter.
Yeah, he's absolutely a great edge setter, absolutely. Really good frame to add weight, 6'5". But I think he is disruptive too. Like he has disruption absolutely. On his film. I think he uses his hands really well. Yeah, I think both of these guys, Hill and Z, Zach, I'm just calling him Zach, fantastic film overall. And they're two different profiles. You got that one that plays that traditional zero tech, and then you got one that's more of your strong side defensive end. So, really good film on him. What else do you like about him?
Well, the other thing I was going to say is I like his frame it looks like he's got solid weight on him, but it's not sloppy. He looks athletic yet. For a guy, he's pretty well put together for somebody who's already up supposedly in the 260, 270 range, which that's a big deal. Like if he's going to have that kind of weight that he's carrying on him, and it's not going to have a lot of just because we know he's probably going to lose 15 pounds and put another 20 on in muscle when he gets here. So you have him at a pretty good spot where you don't look at him and say, this guy's going to drop 40 pounds the second he gets here. Because we're going to have him working so hard that all the pudge is going to come off. He doesn't look like he's got a bunch of garbage weight on him.
Yeah, no, very. I can't really add much to that. Actually, absolutely. Let me pull his film off of the screen before we move on. Justin, so far, I mean, obviously we've talked about the quarterback and two defensive linemen. I'm pretty pleased with what I've seen on the defensive side of the ball from this class. I think they're doing a pretty good job, right? I mean. We're not really upset seemingly about any of these recruits, and we're not even upset off camera. We just say the good stuff. Like we're being honest with our thoughts.
I've been saying this class is a very Paul Chris class in that there's a lot of very high floor guys in this class that I look at. I'm like, my question when I look at this group is there going to be a Posa type guy that you look at and be like, this guy's a dude. Like he's the freak of nature that's going to be coming in there and is going to be a stud. I haven't seen anyone that I look at that I feel that strongly about yet in this class. There's a lot of people that I need to be filled out yet. Like we have a lot of skill position guys that are coming in, and some of the wide receivers that we're going to talk about, there's some ability there with those guys. There's also some really good corner prospects that they're in on that are going to potentially add some things that, you know, will fill this out. And they have another big tight end that they're going after that's more of a receiver, you know, aspect of this. So they're going to get some athleticism on this team again. And I feel like we've really locked down a really strong offensive line group coming in. So I think this class overall, you feel pretty darn good about. It does not feel like there's guys who you're like, this is going to be a very boom bust pick.
Yeah, I think that's a really good assessment. The high floor nature of these players, because again, you're getting guys with what looks like very mature weights and bodies right now, which is nice. Like, they're college ready and they're only going to get better in that regard. Let's move on to DJ Davis, 3-star athlete, safety. He played receiver and defensive back in high school out of Middletown, Delaware. Good, really good offer list. Penn State, West Virginia, Pitt, North Carolina, Syracuse, Boston College, Duke. I'll let you start with this one. Tell me your thoughts on DJ Davis, offense, defense. Where do you think he fits and what do you like about him?
Yeah, I think they're looking at him at safety. I like the frame. He looks like he's a legit 6'2". He's a lot of length. I think my initial thought on him was this kid's got to put on at least 20 pounds to really even be truly considered a safety. But I do think that he's got some nice burst to him. He runs pretty well, and I think he can play some center field here. So I think the number one thing that I'm seeing from most of these cornerback or safety recruits is the safeties, they really seem to be going after guys that can run. Like, everybody is across the board has speed. And it feels like that's the way they're going with everything. We'll see if they're going to end up having to kind of adjust on that and find somebody that's more of a down in the box hitter type at one of these classes. But I do like the mobility, and I do like the ability to close some windows with the group overall that they're getting. I think Davis has a lot of upside. He's raw. I think there's a lot that needs to be done there, but he's got pretty good instincts and he does a good job of closing on the ball when it gets in the air. And that's something that I think that you want to see from a safety.
Yeah. I know you mentioned before the show, like a center field type of a player. I agree. Obviously the from a physical attributes and athleticism, it's certainly there. I think when there's a lot of offensive film on this film that we're showing right now. There's a little bit of defense. And one of the things that I see with the defense is the tackling is just from a technique perspective, it's not really there. You'll see him kind of just lowering his shoulder, turning his body, and just trying to hitting someone. Which, you know, like there's a pass breakup that's on the film that's going on the screen right now, which is a really good one. Yeah, he definitely closes on the ball nicely, and he's raw, got a lot to learn. He's a 3-star to me. He is a 3-star. He kind of projects that way. I think he reminds me of one of these guys that, like, you see a lot of guys like this that have this athleticism. Will they turn into and refine their craft a little bit? Some players I feel like come in a bit more ready. I would put DJ Davis a little bit lower on that scale, not to knock him at all. I would put him a little bit lower on the, is he ready to come in and actually make an impact right away? Or even not necessarily like a Mason Postep that just plays as a freshman, but just someone that you kind of like project as, yeah, he's going to be a hit. I think there's attributes and skills here, but definitely, definitely very raw from that perspective.
So I think that, and I want to caveat that with the same thing that we were kind of talking about the rest of this class. Like, we don't know who's going to turn into a star.
Of course.
Like, any of these guys could end up doing it. We didn't like using the Keanu Benton talk. Nobody thought he was going to come in and be a dominant interior player. So when I say high floor with some of these guys, like, we don't know how it's going to turn out. Some of these guys may reshape their bodies completely in a year and gain 2/10 of a second on their 40 time and suddenly look like completely different athletes. So you kind of get this way of looking at it where it's like, I don't want to come across like I'm not high on these guys. It's just until we see some of that, we knew Mason Posa coming in was a freak of nature. Like, he was all over the field when we saw him in high school, and it was incredible. I think that DJ is going to probably need a year, maybe two. He kind of, to me, is very similar to like Dean and Emmerich, where it's like, you're going to have to kind of season this guy for a little bit, but you have some really good athletic traits that you like that, you know, hopefully you get this guy in the rotation, you know, worst case redshirt sophomore year. You're hoping that he's in that 2 deep and he's a guy who can rotate in and give you snaps. And if that's the case, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our fifth and final one that has entered into the class so far. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the 2027 class kind of as a whole, and then we're going to get into some targets on the receiver front. We got four films to show you there. So I'm going to pull up our last one here, and bear with me while I pull this one up. This is three-star Keaton Wolin, another Wisconsin guy, right, which is really nice. Keaton Wolin, 6'2", 210 from Amory, Wisconsin. Offer list includes Iowa State, Texas Tech, North Dakota State. I think the thing that you see right off the bat here is high IQ player, really hits the hole. I'm not saying he's the most athletic. I'm not saying he's going to be the best. I'm not saying he's the fastest. He doesn't have that Allegro speed or that Posa ability, but what he does have is clearly just a guy that understands the game and reads the game really well. You see him hitting holes very quickly, and you see him attack like he understands the game. And there is the mental side of linebacker is obviously really critical, because you can get washed out very quickly if you're not a guy who can read the game. And when you watch this guy again, and he's playing in Wisconsin, I feel like he's in like this film, right? Because I remember this one. He really understands how to read the game really well, right? He hits the hole fast, and he's a good tackler as well, Justin.
Yeah, I think this is a lot like we talk about some of these guys that we've had in the past and what we have on the roster right now. He's a little like Cooper Catalano or Ben Wentzel or Sanborn when he was here. A guy that maybe doesn't, you look at and you're like, he's not a freak of nature athlete, but he is so instinctual. He's always in the right spot, and he just racks up numbers. And that's the type of guy that he feels like, where he's going to go out there and he'll probably pump out 10 tackle games, where you look at it and you're like, he's just always in the right spot. Like he trusts his eyes and he makes plays because of it. And he's not a slouch of an athlete. He moves well. He gets across the field fairly well. He runs, like you see him here, you know, dropping back and playing center field on some of these plays. He's a guy who can run pretty well. Like, I think he's going to have to put on significant weight right now. If I'm looking at him, I'd say he's probably around 210.
Yeah, that's what he is. He's listed at 210, yeah.
So he's going to have to put on 25, 30 pounds maybe. Because I think he's going to have to be a guy who's going to have to be more of a plugger and come up and you know, play in the hole and be strong.
Yeah, absolutely. He doesn't really seem like a sideline to sideline speed kind of guy. I know things like we identified when like Allegro was here, but yeah, like you're right. Like kind of plugging that hole. I think you use the right word, instinctual. That's the word that I should have used. Really well said there. That's exactly what you can kind of see in this film. Yeah. Reminds me similar to what we saw out of Ben Wentzel in the last cycle. But I think Ben Wenzel's film had, who's a little bit more speed. But again, the instincts here, he just looks like a solid traditional Wisconsin linebacker. 210 pounds, obviously pretty slight for the middle linebacker.
It's a legit offer list too. I don't know where it was on Texas Tech's board, but they clearly are doing a heck of a job of going through their evals, because they spent a ton of money last year and they did a great job evaluating the guys that they spent it on. And it ended up getting them into the, you know, what was it, the quarterfinals? So, you're getting a couple of schools there. I would say Iowa State is another one of those that you look at and you're like, yeah, they typically do a pretty good job. Now that coaching staff has moved on, so it's hard to look at them and then, you know, understand. But even North Dakota State, that's a school that is a top team in the FCS that you could look at and be like, yeah, if they're looking at you, they typically know what they're doing, the guys that they're chasing after.
Yeah. As we zoom out a little bit and look at where we are at the 27 class, we're at 13 recruits right now, Justin. Pretty solid so far. We haven't even hit OV season yet, and we're already in a really, really good position, in my opinion. What do you like most about this class right now? As you look at it holistically, what's the thing that you're like, yep, I really like this? Whether it's a specific player or position group, like what do you like most about the class?
Well, I love that they got a strong offensive line class in. But the thing that I think is most important here is you got your quarterback in the class. It was a huge deal to have him in play by the time you get into official visit season. And I can tell you, any team that is coming into official visit season without a quarterback who's supposed to be kind of your leader, the guy who's the lead recruiter, you're getting a little uncomfortable. Because number one, by the time we get to that point in the year, it's pretty picked over in terms of what quarterbacks are still available. And you have schools that are starting to look at guys, maybe, hey, this guy will be a late riser type of situation. And you kind of look at that, and that's not where you want to be, especially when you have skill guys that you want to recruit and you're bringing in for these official visits. And it's like, they don't know who their quarterback's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, very much agree. The offensive line is, and when you got guys like Reader and the Malinger twins, you're already kind of starting off right. And we, you know, we it's been a while since we've had like a real, well, I mean, we have these ups and downs when it comes to O-linemen in classes. Obviously the 25 class was great. But we need to keep that going. And what we learned last year is that when Wisconsin doesn't have an offensive line, Wisconsin's not very fun to watch. And we need to stack these guys. Now we're looking back at that. We're looking at this room now that's really stacked with a lot of young talent. And you're continuing to stack. You have to stack O-line classes. And you have to make sure you've always got a ton of talent in that room, because there's going to be injuries. There's going to be people that don't hit. There's going to be transfers. And when you're getting good in-state Wisconsin offensive linemen, that puts you in a really good spot. I think Sorgi's a big get. And I think Kingston Allen was a really good get out of this class too. I'm really happy with that. Very, very pleased overall.
Brian Axness, is this class good enough that it would offset a season that didn't meet expectations? The short answer and the blunt answer is no. Unless you have a top five recruiting class, I don't, even then, like if it was me, if he ends up going 5-7, 6-6 this year, like you have to move on. I don't care how good the class is. You cannot, at some point, results have got to be the end game, and the record has got to be a good record. If you have not taken the step that is necessary by this point, it doesn't matter how good the peripherals look. You have to be able to lean on what's actually happening on the field.
Yeah. Now, conversely, looking the other direction, Justin, what do you think is the biggest need in this class right now?
I think I would love to see a stud receiver. Like I think legitimately we look at that room overall, and I don't think that it's a bad wide receiver room, but I also don't think that we look at it and see anybody that we're like, this guy is going to be a dude. The closest thing is maybe Hilton turns into that, but I don't think there's anybody we look into that room and we know that they're going to be productive for sure. And I think you need to get as many guys that have that possibility as you possibly can, because until you hit on somebody, it's going to be a process here. It's been a good minute since Wisconsin's had a guy that you'd look at and be like, wow, he was really a number one.
Yeah. I didn't know what you were going to answer, but I did kind of hope you were going to say receiver, as it sets up the next section of our show. And we're going to talk about four. So now we're switching from guys who've committed to guys who are visiting, right? All four of these next wide receivers that we're going to talk about all have scheduled official visits coming up the next few weeks. So we're going to start here with, and again, first and foremost, the athletic profile already, you're going to see this on film, really nice. And there's a lot of good athletes here. We're going to talk about Channon Harris. We're going to talk about Steele Harris. We're going to talk about Tajay Watson. And we're going to talk about Tavarus Powell. Those are the four, and they're already guys that have visits scheduled. Let's start with Channon Harris. I have it here ready to go. So Channon Harris, 6'1", 175 pounds out of Duncan, South Carolina. For me, the athleticism, Justin, jumps off the charts for me on Channon Harris. In addition to that, something that I always look for when I look at, when I watch film for wide receivers, is crisp routes. And as we get deeper into this film, you'll see, I think the route running is really nice here. Adjusts to the ball well. He's an instinctual and very fast wide receiver that really, really is athletic. You'll see him run screen plays here. You'll see him like come across the line. Very, very good athlete. Of all four of these guys, he might be the best athlete that I see.
I think he is, and I don't think it's close. He, to me, has very easy speed, and he's really shifty. The question that you have with him is, how big can he get, and does he slow down if he gets bigger? Because he's got a pretty slight frame.
And does that matter, though? Does that matter? He's, I mean, I think he's fine.
It you does don't, if you somebody's going to come up and press and they can get hands on you. Like, you have to question, what, like, how good is he going to be able to fight through contact? And it was one of the things that Danny Davis really struggled with. Like, you could get into him, and when you got into his body, he – now, this guy is faster than Davis was. But when you have a guy who doesn't carry a lot of weight, if they can get your hands on it, you can't fight off and get loose. And that was – one of the things that we struggled with in that class overall, when in that 2017-2018 room, there were guys that were productive, but they weren't capable of being able to, like, really go head to head with the group, the best corners that they faced. I think that he takes the top off of defense. It will be interesting. Like I said, he could end up putting on 25 pounds and have a really good frame, but he's got the smallest frame probably of the receivers that are in this group. And that to me is where my concern lies with it. It's like, how much physical development is there?
Yeah. You know, for the wide receiver position, I don't think it really bothers me much. You see guys in the NFL that are this weight that are doing just fine. I understand though. Sometimes those guys are like slot wide receivers, but still, like, 6'1", 175, which will naturally just get up to 180, 185. I don't think that doesn't bother me at all, actually. I'm not concerned at all with his ability to, yes, when he's pressed, is he going to have a problem? I don't know, but I'm not really overly concerned with it. I think that it's...
I'm not saying he can't be productive. I'm saying that if there was one area where I don't know, that's the area that I would say is, like, I don't know how strong he's going to get and how physical he's going to get. The speed is there. I think that plays, but I don't know if I can count on him to be a guy who's going to be, if push comes to shove, can get physical with a guy and make plays because of that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Next up on our film share is going to be Steel Harris. No relation, by the way, to Channon Harris, at least not that we're aware of. Damn it, I had this all pulled up and now it's... Okay, there we go. I think this is the right one. Is it the right one? Yes, it is. Okay. So Steel Harris, Justin, go. What are your thoughts on Steel Harris? So give me the particulars first. 6'3", 190 pounds out of Great Falls, Montana. He's a high 3-star. Offer list includes Michigan State, Utah, Cal, and Arizona State.
So the first thing I'll say is I don't know if I totally buy the 6'3". He looks like he might be more of a 6'2". Which is splitting hairs. I'm just saying he doesn't look like some of these guys that we watch look tall. Like Cash Brock, you watch his film, he looks like he's 6'3".
He plays tall, though. Steel plays tall. You can see it. Like,
he's got a big body, and the guy I comped him to was James Jones. He's a guy who has a thicker build that is athletic. I would say he's going to be a possession-type receiver at the college level because he's not a guy that's a burner. But he moves well and he's athletic, but he's more of like a squared up wide receiver. Like, he's a guy who's got, he's going to have weight. He's going to bounce off of people because he's going to be really hard to tackle once he gets a little stronger even yet. He's got a really good frame to be one of those, like, the possession type receiver that's able to just kind of bully people. And I like, he's a really good hands catcher. You watch his film, he's consistently going out and getting the ball rather than waiting for it to get to his body. That's a big deal. When you get guys that are already showing that prior to getting to the college level, that's always a plus. And he seemed very natural with it.
Yeah, agreed. I obviously, when you see a guy who's 6'3", and I believe the 6'3", unlike you, maybe it's 6'2¾", Justin, come on.
I'm just saying, I don't know if
he plays big. And I think, like, when you have that possession side wide receiver, I completely agree with you. He's a possession wide receiver, but he is fast, not as fast as Channon Harris, but certainly a guy that you can see, as you mentioned with the other guys that we looked at the top of the show, he's a high floor. This is both of these guys we looked at so far are high floor. Will Hanna, says my man Steel. Will Hanna's put a couple comments in here about Steel. I think he really wants Steel Harris. I think this is a good, it's a good addition to the target group, which I like, as far as guys that could potentially show up here. And I think his visit is coming up. That's end of May.
Second weekend.
And by the way, as we get into OV season, we're going to break down everyone who's visiting, as we've done in the years past, everyone who's visiting that weekend, going into that weekend, we'll go through their offer list. We'll go through where their visits are scheduled. So you can see, like, are they coming here first or is it a second? Have they been somewhere else? Are they going other places? And of course, we'll invite our good buddy Nick Osen back for those ones as well. We've got two more wide receivers to show you. Justin, do you want to go to Powell or do you want to go to Watson?
Let's go to Powell. Powell's the guy who's coming in on the first weekend.
Okay.
Well, he's clearly somebody that they're very high on.
And, you know, the first weekend is always a thing, right? I mean, that's always a thing. All right, Justin, I'll let you take this one away. Tavarius Powell is a 6'285" wide receiver out of Bradenton, Florida. Offer list includes North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Michigan State, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and West Virginia.
Yeah, the thing that I'll say here is his skill set out of the wide receivers that we offered, I think he's the most well-rounded receiver. It's the best combination of having speed as well as just like raw athletic tools. Very, very good at high pointing the ball. Really good at tracking the football. He's just a natural at being able to contort his body and kind of getting himself in a good position to make a play, which is something that not everybody can do. Like you see some of these catches where he's going up and basically flying out of bounds and still gets a foot down. I really like him. I understand why he would be the number one guy. I'm kind of partial to Channon like you, but I think that this guy would be an absolute big-time find if they can get him because I think that he does everything well. Like right here, you see how he kind of goes up and spins back away from the ball and tracks it well to get himself in position. There are people that trip over their own feet having to spin back around like that. Like it's not easy to make that look that simple and then actually get a fair amount of lift off your non-dominant foot when you go up to jump and get the ball. So he's got some things athletically that he does naturally that are not easy things to do that it looks easy on his film.
Yeah, that is actually the first thing I wrote down is he makes it look easy. Mm-hmm. He makes us all look very easy. He's definitely number two for me in this group of four after Channon Harris. I totally agree. I just think he looks like a very natural wide receiver, right? He, as we talked about with other players, to me, I'm always looking at that, like the mentality of it. Does he read the game well? And it just looks like he's been playing football his entire life, mm-hmm. right? The way that I talked about Jack Sorge playing quarterback, I feel like that's the kind of things that I see from Powell, just because he just looks like a natural wide receiver that's been doing it his whole life. He understands the game. He takes really good angles. He's a good route runner, but he's just very naturally gifted at this position, which I think is always
too.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very much so. All right, last one before we kind of put a bow on this. This is going to be Tajay Watson. Let me pull up this. Yeah, and listen, running these multiple screens and stuff, it's a lot of work over here. All right. So now, of course, I can't get it to work this very last time. All right. So here we go. Tajay Watson. He's 5'10", buck 70 out of Anderson, South Carolina, Wisconsin, Stanford, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Penn State, Wake Forest, Duke, and Maryland. Other offers. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's clearly a slot. You watch him and he's probably the most elusive out of the group. There's some things here where I look at him and I see, you can see where the refinement needs to happen. I don't love his route running. No. I think he's very sudden. I think he runs pretty well, but there are times when he looks like he's not as sharp on some of the routes that he bends in where you're like, if you just cut that a little bit harder, you create a lot more separation. And I have to look at this. Sometimes you watch his quarterback, the throws that he chooses to make to this guy, because he clearly has all the confidence in the world in him, where he'll be like, I don't know what opening you're seeing there, but like he just ends up throwing it into an extra gear and outrunning the defender. But there are times where he's very much not open. he throws it up to him. I like this one. If they choose to go that route, I'm curious how Grimes really truly views the wide receiver position. He does not seem like a coach that loves the idea of a true slot. And what I mean by that is I think he really likes having flexibility with his receivers and having the ability to move them around and play them at any of the spots if they need be. He does not seem like somebody who is like Longo who wants to go small with a receiver. He seems like he wants everyone to be at least 6 foot because he wants to be able to put them out on the outside edge if they need to.
Yeah. I think Grimes likes the slot. I think he will. I mean, I think he will, ideally, if he's got a litany of options, one of them being a speedy, shifty slot wide receiver, I think he'll use him quite well, actually.
I don't think that he doesn't want to use the slot. I'm saying that from a skill set, I don't think that you can be a guy who profiles only as a slot guy. He wants somebody that's versatile enough that they can play anywhere. He will use the slot for sure. Just like he's going to use the tight end a ton in this offense this year, where he likes to drop those guys off and have them be the safety blanket. They run a ton of crossers and rub routes in this offense. We'll finally get to see some of it this year. If, you know, regardless of what happens with the starting quarterback, we have enough quarterback depth this year that I feel confident we can run some of the offense, even if we do have an injury. So we should be able to see some of the playbook this year.
It would be nice to get a full understanding of what a Jeff Grimes offense actually looks like, right? I mean, that'd be really great. Like, Justin was so high on Grimes when he got here, talking about how he loved his offense, and we didn't get to see it. Jeff Grimes deserved another shot at it. I'm glad he's back. I think Jeff Grimes is going to do really, really good things with that crop of quarterbacks and a more improved offensive line. He kind of got a raw deal when he showed up. We didn't have a traditional offensive line that Wisconsin has. Well, it's getting better. Not great yet, but certainly getting better, and I think he'll do well. Listen, overall, not much else to add on Tajay Watson. I think he is your traditional slot guy. Of that group of four, Justin, your number one, is it Channon? Is that the guy that you want?
I want him. I don't know it necessarily plays out that way. It feels to me like it's a Channon or Powell situation. So we'll see what happens there, because I think those two profile the closest. Of that group, to me, Steel Harris is your possession receiver. Like, he's the guy you want out there running the crossers and being able to come across and just be physical, because I don't see him as a guy that you're going to have, you know, sending him deep. He just doesn't have that type of speed. But he's a guy who can be really physical and be kind of a brute out on the field. And he's athletic enough. Like, he moves well. He's like when we thought Brooks was going to take a step and be a guy, like back when he initially started in spring and was having a big spring before he busted his foot. That's kind of what you're hoping Steel Harris ends up being, is maybe a little bit more explosive version of that. A guy who can go up and get the ball, is really physical and athletic, and is capable of kind of just exerting himself on the defender.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I would take Channon would be my number one, but honestly, if you get him or Powell, I'm okay with it. I think they're both really gifted wide receivers, and it just adds to that list. And hopefully we get the Steel Harris as well. And yeah,
I think Powell has a little bit more versatility to his game than what Channon does. Cause I think Channon is a little bit more of a speed guy than some of the other, like, high pointing and going up and getting the ball.
I think from a speed, pure speed and route running, I would put Harris at the top, Channon Harris at the top for me. But yeah, listen, all really good. If you're just joining us, you should go back and watch all the film that we've watched. We've watched 9 high school film today, from the 5 guys that we brought in earlier to 4 visiting wide receivers as well. So go check that out. We'll probably try to do this even next weekend before we get to OVs. We will highlight a position and kind of go through all the people visiting from them. I think that's kind of the way we'll target this going forward. If you're still listening to this and you're still watching, please hit that like button. It's super helpful to us. So if you're watching it, go down there, hit that like button. If you're not subscribed already, do that. Justin, the class is looking pretty good. Ranked 15th nationally right now. Obviously, that's because we've already got the Allens of the world in the Sorges of the world in. We've got a decent number of 4 stars already. The 25 class was really good for Luke Fickell. 26 was not good for Luke Fickell. Do you feel like this could be his number one? Do you feel like this could end up being his highest ranked recruiting class?
No. I think that it's going to be a very good class. But I don't know that it necessarily, like, I think the POSA class to me would be the one that I would say is the top one. There's just so many guys in that class that we felt really good about. POSA, Clayton, Williams, just on the defensive side of the ball. Cooper's clearly was a hit. Like, you might almost build your entire defense off of that. Jameer Scott is going to be a starter out of that group, or potentially a starter out of that group. You have so many guys that came in that group that we were number one, we really thought that they had really high-end film, and clearly it was not wrong because all those guys are pushing and they've been here a year. So that tells you all you kind of need to know. And there were some good offensive linemen in that group. Those guys are fighting to kind of get into position. Now, they need a little bit longer to marinate, which is fine. We don't want to be rushing those guys along. I think we feel pretty good about the starting group for the offensive line. And we could also use some health there for a year. So, you know, let's have those guys get in for some, you know, slop time late in the game where we're up a couple of scores and they can get a drive.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think this will be his best class. I mean, let me remind you, obviously you already mentioned Posa, Hilton, Clayton, Jalen Williams, but the offensive linemen in that class, Logan Powell, Hardy Watts, Nolan Davenport, Michael Roski. I mean, a very, very loaded group from a lot of different positions. I don't think 27 will be his best class, Justin, but I do think it will be his most important class. Because if the 25 group have become the starters, if you want to continue what, like I've said many times, I think the corner has been turned. I think Luke Fickell has his program going in the right direction. Right now, I think I'm feeling very bullish on the next season and us being able to win 7 games and kind of turn things around in NIL and all these things, spending up all that stuff. So you will fall off a cliff fast in this conference if you do not bring classes together. The 26 class, we've already talked about it. We don't need to talk about it. It's not the greatest. But 20, if you stack 2 poor classes together, you are in trouble. Mm-hmm. So 27 is a really, really important class because he hit really well in 24 and 25. You've got to be able to swing the pendulum back and get a lot of, as you've said, high floor guys. That's kind of what they're doing here. We've talked about the focus for this football program looking like, from our perspective, being getting back to Wisconsin culture, getting back to identity. And I feel like that's kind of what this is. This class is proving to be the high floor guys who can come and make an impact. Their bodies are good. Their frames are solid. Like, I feel really good about where this is. And I think, while not the best, in my opinion, the most important. And he has to finish this out strong if he's going to be able to look at the future of Wisconsin football and be pleased about what he sees.
Yeah, and this comment from Mr. October: for Christ's sake, however things play out, just don't cancel any official visits. Say it enough times to make it so. So what I will say on this is there is zero reason why you should. Now, I get you want to be respectful and say we're fulled up, we're not going to bring you. I think you still need to bring those kids in. And I think you just need to tell them, hey, we don't know how this is going to play out. Things change all the time. We still would love to have you here. Right now, I don't have a spot for you, but don't cancel the visit, because if you cancel that visit, that relationship is dead. You're not getting back in with that kid. You have got to do what you can to play it out in a way where you have the opportunity to say, we still love you. We want you here. If we have a spot for you, we don't. Like, you have to play this game in a way where you're not beating yourself. Last year, we beat ourselves. We had multiple situations where guys ended up getting different offers and ended up leaving, and it absolutely crushed the class.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with this more. Like, it's a new age of college sports. You can't actually let these relationships go because, yeah, people are going to decommit. And listen, you might get that guy a year later in the transfer portal and be really happy that you did not.
And that's where it helps.
Exactly. And you can't cause that. You can't burn those bridges, and someone's going to decommit, and then all of a sudden you're like, boy, I really wish I would have had that number 2 wide receiver on our board. Don't do that. Don't put yourself in that position. Yeah, take all the official visits and let it keep going. Sorry, I feel like I have to sneeze. I keep like trying to stop it. Anyway, so yes, if you haven't got, if you just joined us, please go back and watch. We did went through a lot of recruiting stuff today. And you know, additions to the class, 2027 wide receiver targets. We'll talk about some more in the upcoming weeks. We'll leave it there for the day. Justin, any final thoughts on the 27 class, recruiting, or anything else you want to touch on before we close the show today?
Yeah, I think we're getting very close to official visit season, which means we're going to start hearing a lot. I would not be shocked if the class is effectively almost complete by the time they get done with June. So that's something to keep in mind. Like, this is going to happen fast and furious. I would not be shocked if that first weekend they have 4 or 5 commits and suddenly you're at 17 and you're kind of filling in the cracks in the last couple of weekends. We'll see what happens with that. I don't know how many bodies they plan on taking. My gut instinct says somewhere in the like 21, 22 range. So that gives you some opportunity. And maybe late in the season, you look at some late senior risers that you get involved on. But I think that Wisconsin has put themselves in a really good spot to be able to have a successful end of this recruiting class. You have taken yourself away from having the headache of being behind the eight ball with this, which to me is really important. You do not want to be at one or two commits right now and be like, we've got to find 20 bodies in 1 month span, because that gets really complicated. And the other part of it is, you now have a bunch of guys who are committed, who are going to be coming in on those visits and able to help you recruit the kids that are there, that they've already been established in a group chat and talking to a lot of these guys.
Yeah. Having your recruits help get other recruits is an absolutely critical piece of this. And it's gotta happen. Yeah. Listen, OV weekend one is always the biggest weekend, and it's always going to be the ones where a lot of them hit. We are going to talk about that, of course, as it approaches, but recruiting season is full in effect. And once recruiting OV season is done, we are going full bore into college football, which is just a few short months away. And God, do we need something to cheer about when it comes to Wisconsin football, which we haven't had in a couple of years, but we're going to get it this year. Thanks for joining us for our recruiting special. We'll be back again next week. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.